I recently heard a story about a man who was outside noticing some strange behavior from his neighbor. He noticed that his neighbor came out of his house and walked over to the mailbox, opened the mailbox door, saw there was no mail in the mailbox, shut the mailbox door in frustration and said, "That's weird," and then walked back into the house. 5 minutes later, the man comes back outside of the house again, goes to the mailbox, opens the mailbox door, shuts the door again, seeing there's no mail in there, in frustration, goes back inside the house. 5 minutes later, comes out a third time, goes to the mailbox, opens the mailbox door, sees there's no mail in it, shuts the door again in frustration, goes back into the house. Comes back out a fourth time to do the same thing. And so finally, the man says, I gotta say something. So he walks over to his neighbor and he says, "I don't mean to pry, but why do you keep coming out of the house to check to see if you got mail in the mailbox, seeing that there's no mail in there, getting frustrated, and going back in the house?" And the man said, "Well, I have this voice in my house that keeps saying, 'You've got mail.' And I keep coming out here to try to find it, and there's not any in here." I know that was cheesy. That was cheesy, okay? But the idea here is that this person was hearing a voice, and they were trying to figure out how to deal with that voice. As we go throughout our daily lives, each of us are constantly hearing voices. We're hearing, when we're younger, we're hearing the voices of our parents, of our coaches, of our teachers, of our peers. As we get older, we start hearing the voices of our professors, of our mentors, of our bosses at work, the voices of our spouses, the voices of our children, the voices of our neighbors, friends. On a larger scale, we hear the voices of our politicians, of our celebrities, of our athletes. We hear the voices of our city and community leaders. We hear the voices from our media, voices from journalists, voices from columnists, from social scientists, and yes, even voices from our computers. And these voices are telling us all kinds of things. They're telling us how to be successful. These voices are telling us how to gain money and how to find happiness. These voices are telling us what is right and what is wrong, what is moral, what is immoral, what is ethical, what is unethical. These voices will tell us what we should be buying, what we should be eating, where we should be vacationing. They'll be telling us how to vote. They'll give us advice for our career. They'll give us cases for our beliefs. They'll give us perspectives for our viewpoints. And yes, these voices will even tell us notifications, they'll even tell us what's next on our calendar, and yes, they will even tell us if we've got mail. These voices are telling us all kinds of things. And the critical question as a Christian, as we go throughout our daily life, as we're hearing all of these voices that are constantly speaking into our life and speaking into our heart, the critical question is, how do we deal with all these voices? Which voices should I really be listening to? Which voices should have authority in my life, and which voices should just be an opinion? Which voices should I trust and depend on, and which voices should I ignore? Which voices are ones that are going to lead me into truth, and which voices are going to lead me into error? Which are the voices that I really need to focus on and make sure I'm hearing every word they're saying, and which voices are ones that I should not pay attention to at all? And it's these questions that I think Hebrews chapter 1 was written to try to answer. I want to take your Bibles and open them to Hebrews chapter 1. Take your Bibles and open them to Hebrews chapter 1, and let's look at this text together. Hebrews chapter 1. There's some scholars who believe that the book of Hebrews was written really to be a sermon, a word of exhortation delivered to a group of Christians, a group of Hebrew Christians who were struggling. They were weary, they were tired, they were trying to follow Jesus, but they had had some difficulties. They had experienced persecution, they had experienced ridicule, some shame, and because of these trials, they were starting to second guess whether they should really follow Jesus. And to couple with that, there was this these all of these cultural voices that were speaking to these Hebrew Christians, trying to draw them away from their Lord and Savior, Jesus. And with all this background noise going on in their lives, they couldn't really focus and hear Jesus. And so the writer, we don't know exactly who the writer is, but this writer decides to write this sermon to try to help these Christians in the midst of their trial, to help give them perseverance and endurance, to stay on the path, to focus intently on Jesus in the midst of all of the cultural voices that they're hearing. And the way he begins the sermon is quite fascinating. He begins with these four verses. And in the original language, these first four verses are all one sentence. Four verses, one sentence. That's a long sentence. And the sentence, if you look in the original language, it has a certain rhythm and a certain style to it, to where there are some scholars who think that these first four sentences, first four verses, that's one sentence, is actually a song. A hymn, kind of like Colossians 1 or Philippians 2 that we talked about previously, that it's kind of a hymn that maybe he's writing at the beginning of the sermon. We're not really sure. But the theme of these first four verses revolves around this idea of the voice of God. I really like that one little girl up here at the front who is saying, God speaks, God speaks. Because it is a wonderful thing to think about that. Someone has said that the chief character in the Bible is God, and the chief characteristic of God is that God speaks. We don't serve a silent God. We don't serve a God who's up in heaven and doesn't communicate with us at all. We serve a God who speaks, who has a voice. And the writer begins his sermon by talking about the voice of God, and what he does is he does a comparison between how God spoke in the past and how God speaks today. He says, in the past, God has spoken to our forefathers through prophets in many ways and in many portions. Now, I want to focus on that phrase for just a second, in many ways and many portions, because I think it means two things. Number one, I think what the writer is talking about is that in the past, in the Old Testament, God would speak in a variety of methods. As one of the children said up here, he spoke to Moses through the burning bush. He spoke to Joseph through a dream. He spoke to Joshua through an angel. He spoke to Elijah through a still small voice. He'd speak in a variety of methods and means in the Old Testament. Sometimes he'd use symbols. Sometimes he would use people. Sometimes he would use visions. And sometimes he would even speak through a donkey. I mean, he just used a variety of methods to get his message across. But the second thing about that phrase, in many ways and in many portions, is that word portion. That when God did speak, it was always just a portion. One writer put it this way, it was in bits and pieces. You heard his voice, but you just heard a part of it. You didn't get the full revelation. You didn't get the full picture. You didn't get the grand plan. You just got a portion. You just got a piece of it. And so in the past, that's the way God spoke. He spoke through prophets, and he spoke in many different ways and in many different portions and many different bits and pieces. But then the writer says, now, though, now is different. Now God speaks not to our forefathers, but he speaks to us. And he doesn't speak through prophets. He speaks through one way, not in many ways, but in one way. And he speaks through Jesus, his son. And in speaking through Jesus, he's not just giving us a portion, right? He's giving us the full revelation. He's given us the fulfillment of the plan. He's given us the grand design. It's all through Jesus. Now, let me just make a note here. Because of what the writer's saying, he's not trying to say that we can just forget about the past revelations of God. We can just forget about the Old Testament. We don't need to focus on the Old Testament. We just need to focus on Jesus. That's not what he's saying. He would want us to be focused on the Old Testament too, but he's just trying to help us understand that now God is speaking in a more supreme, in a more better, in a more fulfilling way through Jesus, in the past through the prophets, but today through Jesus. And the writer goes on in the next couple verses to give us seven reasons why God speaking through Jesus is now the authoritative manner in which God's voice can be heard. Seven confessions, if you will. Seven confessions about Jesus. Look at them with me. He says, first of all, Jesus has been appointed the heir of all things. At the end of it all, you know who's going to get it all? Jesus. He's going to inherit everything. He's the heir of all things. Secondly, he says Jesus is not just going to be there at the end. He was there at the beginning, as he was the one through whom also he made the world. Jesus was the agent of creation. God the Father worked through Jesus to create everything that we see, everything that we know. Third, he says he's the radiance of God's glory. Jesus actually shines forth the glory and wonder of God, to where when you're looking at Jesus, you're actually seeing the Father, because his glory radiates from Christ. Fourth, he says Jesus is the exact representation of God. And the image of this phrase is taking a seal or a ring and putting it into hot wax. They would do that in the first century. They would take their ring and they'd put it in hot wax, and it would leave an imprint in the wax. And the writer is saying, if you took a ring or a seal that was God and you put it in hot wax, the imprint that would be left is Jesus. He is the exact representation of God. Next, the next confession that he says is that he upholds all things by the word of his power. Not only is Jesus going to be at the end, not only was he at the beginning, he's in the middle as well. He upholds everything by his powerful word. Next, he says he's made purification for sins. Through his work at the cross, Christ has brought atonement and reconciliation to where there's no need for any more sacrifices. Christ has paid it all through his work at the cross. And then sixth, he says that he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He assumed his place of authority and power at the right hand of the Father, his place of worship at the right hand of God the Father. Seven confessions that the writer gives, and they're all focused on this one simple point. The voice of God is fully and authoritatively heard in Jesus. It's not heard any other place. Jesus is at the beginning. He's going to be at the end. He's in the middle. Jesus is the radiance of God's glory. Jesus is the exact representation of God. Jesus has purified us from all sins. Jesus is at the right hand of God. It can only be heard in Jesus. In the past, he spoke through prophets, but now he speaks through Jesus, the writer begins. And in many ways, these four verses set the tone for the whole book of Hebrews. And we don't have time to go through the whole book of Hebrews, but the rest of the book, it goes to different topics. It goes to the topic of sacrifice and the topic of priesthood, the topic of Melchizedek, topic of faith. And in all of these topics, he brings it always back to Jesus, who gave the ultimate once and for all sacrifice. It was Jesus, who is the greatest high priest above all other priests. Jesus, who is the one in the order of Melchizedek, yet greater than Melchizedek. Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. Jesus. The writer is trying to get across to these Hebrew Christians who are tired and who are weary, who need encouragement. He's trying to remind them, don't listen to the cultural voices. Don't listen to those voices that are trying to draw you away. Instead, take a step further and cup your hands around your ears and listen intently to Jesus. Because in the past, God spoke through prophets in many ways and many portions. But today, now, he speaks to us, and he speaks to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. As some of you know, over the past couple weeks, my sister and brother-in-law were able to spend, and their family were able to spend some time with us. They live in Mumbai, India. And on Monday night, a couple weeks ago, they took some of the high school students out to an India restaurant, and we had Indian food together. It was wonderful. And my brother-in-law, Craig, began to tell the students about some things about India. And he said, one thing about India is that 80% of the people in India are Hindus. And a Hindu believes that there's approximately about 330 million deities. And the object of Hinduism is to try to appease the best you can these deities. And so you go to the temple and you offer a sacrifice, hoping that you appease enough deities into where you'll have a blessed life. And what's interesting is that many Hindus do believe that Jesus Christ is one, possibly one, of those 330 million deities. He's one of the gods that you ought to worship. He's one of the voices that you ought to listen to. He's one of the authority figures that you should revere. And the evangelistic task becomes in India to try to explain and to teach to Hindus that Jesus is not just one of the gods. He's not just one of the voices that you need to be listening to. He is the Son of God. And he is the one that God speaks through. And you don't need to listen to any other deities. You don't need to try to appease any other deities because they're really not gods. They're idols. Instead, you need to listen only to Jesus. And I think that challenge is not just for Hindus in India. I think that challenge is for us here in the 21st century North America. Because like I mentioned at the beginning, we hear a lot of voices. A lot of voices. And how do we manage these voices? How do we determine which voices to listen to and which voices not to listen to? And I think Hebrews 1 speaks a powerful word to us. And it says, let me remind you of your kerygma, the content of what we proclaim, our message, our faith, our story, which tells us that today God's voice can be heard through Jesus. And so as we think through the different voices in our life, the ultimate dominant voice that should drown out all other voices should be the voice of Jesus. And so when we're having trouble in our marriage, who do we listen to? We listen to Jesus. When we're trying to figure out our career, what to study in college, what to study in graduate school, who do we listen to? We listen to Jesus, right? When we're trying to figure out how to handle our money, do we listen to financial advisors? First and foremost, we listen to Jesus, right? Jesus. When we're trying to figure out politics, who do we listen to? Fox News or the good news? CNN or JNN? We listen to Jesus, folks, Jesus. When we're trying to get out of poverty, who do we listen to? We listen to Jesus. When we're trying to get clean and sober, who do we listen to? We listen to Jesus. When we're trying to get our life back on the right path, who do we listen to? We listen to Jesus. When we're trying to parent our children, who do we listen to? Jesus. When we're trying to figure out how to work well in our job, we listen to Jesus. When we're trying to understand what is really right and what is really wrong, who do we listen to? We listen to Jesus. When we're trying to figure out what is meaning in life, what brings meaning and what brings value in life, who do we listen to? We listen to Jesus. In every issue, in every situation, in every problem that comes into our life, if we're a disciple of Jesus, Hebrews 1 says, the voice of God can be heard through Jesus. And that's the voice that we need to be listening to. He says, Steve, hang on a second. I can understand us needing to listen to Jesus if we're talking about theology or if we're talking about doctrine or salvation. But, you know, some of those other areas you mentioned, Jesus' words really don't apply. And if we were to listen to Jesus' words in those areas, it would be really weird and crazy. And so shouldn't we, in those situations, listen to the respective leaders in those respective fields in order to understand how to live? And let me just say this. That certainly, the voice of God through Jesus can be heard and affirmed through various workers and helpers and leaders. But the voice that we use as a standard, the voice that we judge all the voices by, the voice that should tower over every other voice, and if you don't match this voice, then you're discarded, should always be the voice of Jesus. Isn't that right? Because in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through prophets in many ways and many portions, but today, now, he speaks to us through whom? Through his son, Jesus. There's no political leader with more power. There's no professor with more wisdom. There's no friend with more comfort. Jesus is greater than any warrior. Jesus is higher than any ruler. Jesus is richer than any billionaire. The one we need to be listening to, the one that should drown out all the other voices, is the voice of Jesus. And if we start to do that, If we start to truly listen to the voice of Jesus above all other voices, we're going to start being peculiar. Because our culture is not listening to the voice of Jesus. It's not. And so if we start listening to the voice of Jesus, we're going to act differently than the culture around us. Our marriages are going to stay together because we're going to be listening to the voice of Jesus, not to another voice that says, divorce them. We're going to start seeking the path of humility and servanthood instead of listening to an economically driven culture that says, you just need to earn more money. We're going to start giving sacrificially to others in need. We're going to start living lives of truthfulness and integrity and modesty because we're following the voice of Jesus. We're going to start loving the unlovable, the people that our world says, oh, forget about those people. They don't have any use in our world. They don't have any value. We're going to love them, and we're going to embrace them. We're going to welcome them. The people that our world says, they're actually enemies to the church. They're anti-Christians. We're going to love them, and we're going to embrace them, and we're going to welcome them, and people are going to look at us, and they're going to think we're weird. And they're going to say, why are you doing that? Why are you loving the unlovable? Why are you sticking it out in your marriage, even though it's been hard? Why are you giving so much to help others? Why are you trying to be humble and being a servant when you could reach higher? And you can grab more power. Why are you trying to be humble? When they see these things, they ask these questions, our answer can be this right here. We're doing this because the voice that we are listening to is not the voice of philosophers. It's not the voice of politicians. It's not the voice of our friends, peers, teachers, or coaches. The number one voice that we are trying to listen to and follow is the voice of Jesus. Because in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets in many ways and in many portions. But today, now, he speaks to us through his Son. And so the question this morning, the question of our invitation, is who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? And if you've been listening to the wrong voice, it's time to come back to the Lord. And our shepherds are going to surround this building, and just I encourage you to walk to one of them and say, pray for me that I can start listening to the voice of Jesus. Or maybe you're ready to become a Christian, to repent of your sins, be baptized into Christ, to have your sins washed away. We'd love to welcome you to God's family. And during this song, just come to the front and we'll help you. If there's any way that we can help you to listen to Jesus above all other voices, please come and see that we stand and sing.